There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Oh, you have no idea. It is history repeating. I can't tell you how many times I've lived through this. Man, oh man, oh man. Well, welcome to a Thursday night. It is Nicole Sandler here on RadioOrNot.com. In case you are just tuning in, hopefully you found us online at RadioOrNot.com. We are streaming live on Ustream, and I'm going to try to hold it together tonight. Okay. The day started badly enough with the Supreme Court ruling today. I promised I was not going to do this. The Supreme Court basically sold us out today. And you know what? If you've been listening to my show, you know I've been telling you about this for so long, right? I've been warning you that the Citizens United versus FEC, Federal Elections Commission ruling was going to come down. And if the court ruled the way we thought they were going to, it was going to be a truly sad day for America. Sorry, I should have brought Kleenex in with me. Anyway, sure enough, the ruling came down this morning. So I immediately got to work and started, clearing out what I had booked for tonight and getting people lined up for the show to talk about what we do next, because we got to spring into action. So while I was going through this day, I'm posting furiously on Facebook, all kinds of links. And if you're not on my Facebook page, you can find the links to Facebook and Twitter and everything at RadioOrNot.com. You should go and check out some of those pages, and I'll share them with you as the evening goes on. It was shortly after 5 o'clock this afternoon. I posted an update that I was going to have Congressman Alan Grayson on the air tonight, and Congresswoman Donna Edwards, and John Bonifaz, who's coming up in just a moment, all coming on the show tonight. And somebody instant messaged me on Facebook and said, "Didn't you hear about Air America?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, Air America is ceasing live broadcasts." And I'm like, "Where'd you hear that?" She said, "On the website, go check." And sure enough, I went there and saw the note that probably most of you have seen by now, that Air America, I should pull it up and read it to you. Well, you know what? If you're watching on the Ustream stream, you know what happened. Basically, it's a tough economic climate for everybody, let alone the radio industry. And, sure enough, they folded today. They went Chapter 7, not Chapter 11. There's no reorganizing. It's done. Nada. Out of it. And no, Heather Chase in the chat just said, "What, didn't they even tell you?" Well, I did get a phone call about 10 minutes later, and apparently, it broke, and faster than they could make the phone calls, the word spread like wildfire. So here we are. I'm not sure what the future holds. I know that, thank goodness, I started this Ustream thing a couple of weeks ago, so we have this. But I'm going to figure out ways, to do the audio stream only. And there's probably a way I can even get it off of here. I got to figure all this stuff out while I look for a job, because, got to pay the bills. But in the meantime, text Betsy. You were the first to tell me, and she is in the chat room. If you go to Radio, well, you're already here. I don't have to, I've got to rework the way I'm doing things. But we do have a good show for you tonight, and we are going to explain what is going on with the Supreme Court, what this all means. And, we sort of have to do this on the fly, because I don't have anybody in New York, making calls for me any longer. So our first guest tonight is John Bonifaz. He is the legal director of Voter Action, at voteraction.org. And he's the director of a new campaign for a constitutional amendment clarifying that corporations are not covered under the First Amendment, that corporations are not people, right? So let's do this. Let's call John. And as soon as it, God, I really should have brought Kleenex in here. Excuse me. Next time I'll learn. All right, it should be ringing now. And when John answers, hello? John.
Yes.
Hey, it's Nicole Sandler. You're live on Radio or Not, and we got a lot of people listening to the stream online, and thank you for joining us tonight.
I'm honored to be on your show, Nicole. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored to have you as my first guest in the post-Air America era. I guess we have to put it that way now. But you know what? What happened today is so important. You know, part of me thought, well, let me just take a long weekend and I'll regroup and come back Monday. But you know what? I've been leading up to this night for so long, speaking with people like our mutual friend David Swanson about this ruling that was going to be coming down. I had John Nichols from The Nation on just last week to warn listeners about what was coming, and unfortunately, what we thought was going to happen did happen today. So, John Bonifaz, you are the legal director of Voter Action at voteraction.org. Can you explain to our listeners exactly what the Supreme Court did today?
The Supreme Court engaged in a radical departure from century-old precedent that has held that corporations are prohibited from spending money in our elections and political campaigns. For more than 100 years, we have recognized the dangers of allowing artificial state entities created by the state, corporations, which are designed to aggregate wealth, from allowing those entities to come into the political process and drown out ordinary voices, citizen speech. And the fact is, what we have today now is a ruling that throws all that precedent out the window and says that corporations may spend from their general treasury funds up to the sky billions and billions of dollars like we've never seen before in United States history will now be spent by corporations in our elections. If you can imagine, the top Fortune 100 companies in 2008 alone made profits of $600 billion combined, compared to a total of spending of $3 billion by the political action committees and political parties combined last year. So clearly we're dealing with a whole new source of money coming into the political process that will further drown out ordinary citizen speech.
Now, do you know how this whole this idea arose of corporations as persons, the idea that corporations were entitled to protections under the First Amendment?
This is actually a fairly recent doctrine that the Supreme Court has enunciated dealing with corporations under the First Amendment. For nearly 200 years of our nation's history, we have never treated corporations as persons under the First Amendment. It's only been in the past 30-some years, led by Lewis Powell, prior to becoming Justice Lewis Powell. He wrote a memorandum for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce advising that corporations get behind a new campaign to use the First Amendment to shield themselves from accountability and to strike down laws arguing free speech. And ultimately, he became Justice Powell, actually soon after that memorandum, and ended up writing some of the first opinions articulating that corporations should be treated as persons under the First Amendment. So this is a relatively new doctrine that we believe at voteraction.org needs to be challenged head on. We've launched a new campaign today with Public Citizen, with Center for Corporate Policy, and with the American Independent Business Alliance. And the campaign is housed at freespeechforpeople.org. And at freespeechforpeople.org, we're calling on people across this country to join us in demanding a constitutional amendment to say once and for all that corporations are not persons. They're not living and breathing human beings like you and me, like your listeners. And they do not, therefore, have the protections under the First Amendment like people. Free speech is for people, not corporations, and the framers never intended to have the First Amendment protect corporations.
Well, you're right. And actually, Tom Hartman wrote a book on the subject. And from what I can remember, it was really, it was a clerk who sort of made a clerical error. And that's that that opinion has just carried through the ages. Now, is there any way to, do we need a constitutional amendment to, it was the Santa Clara case, yes, thank you, Brian in Miami in the chat room. Is there any way to just go back and revisit that? It was a clerk who worked for the railroad companies. And say, wait a minute, let's re-examine this mistake that declared that corporations are entitled to that corporations are people, that they have this personhood status. Do we need a constitutional amendment to do that?
You know, here's the history on this, right? The Santa Clara case, you're absolutely right, never states in the decision, and Tom Harbin is right on this as well, that corporations are persons. It was in the head notes, and it was written by a law clerk with ties to the railroad industry. But the fact is that in modern-day Supreme Court jurisprudence, in the past 20 to 30 years, corporations have become treated as persons under the First Amendment. So there's now case law dating back to First National Bank of Boston v. Bilotti and so forth, where corporations are given free speech rights, somehow protected by the First Amendment to speak in various contexts. And today, the decision extends now into the political process to actually spend money from their general treasury funds in unlimited fashion to influence our election outcomes. And that's the extreme conclusion of this corporate rights movement under the First Amendment that's taken place over the past few decades. But we have to return to the first 200 years of our nation's history where that never was happening. It was never treated that way. This is all designed as part of a corporate rights movement, and we've got to take back the First Amendment. We've got to reclaim the First Amendment for people, not corporations, and a free speech for people. People can go there, click on an introductory video, and learn more about how to join this campaign.
Absolutely. And I've got links, a link to freespeechforpeople.org and the video posted on my website at radioornot.com. I got to commend you guys, you and the people at a Public Citizen, for jumping on it. You were ready as soon as the decision was handed down. There was a press call today. And in fact, I recorded the entire thing and posted it online. You know what? As soon as I get off the air, I will put a link to that on radioornot.com as well. But there is a link to the recording of this conference call at freespeechforpeople.org. So if anyone wants to listen to it, it's up there. But you put together this coalition who was ready to jump because this decision was not unexpected.
Unfortunately, it was not unexpected. And the reason why, Nicole, that it was not unexpected is that this case ultimately was focused around a movie called Hillary the Movie, mm-hmm. that had been produced by this organization, Citizens United, a conservative Virginia advocacy group. And it was focused around challenging this particular provision of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform law passed in 2002 that dealt with political advertising immediately prior to an election, 60 days prior to a general election, 30 days prior to a primary election. And the effort was really to strike down that provision on the grounds that it was unconstitutional and to try to demonstrate that this movie somehow should be able to be shown, even though it was corporately funded. And what it became was something far, far bigger. The Supreme Court, on its own, asked for re-argument in September of last year to focus around whether they should overturn this long-standing precedent. And once they did that, it was clear to all observers of this case that this was going down a very dangerous road and that the court was seriously considering doing something far more radical than even the plaintiffs had sought in the case, the Citizens United group. And that's why we built this coalition over the past several months. We were ready to go. Obviously, we wished we didn't have to, push the button and make this happen and get this site to be live, but we had to be ready because we knew the court was playing with this in this dangerous way, and we need to respond. We need to take back the First Amendment. We cannot allow these five justices to take the First Amendment and give it to corporations. That is not what the framers ever intended.
Absolutely not. If you're just joining us, John Bonifaz is with us. He's the legal director of Voter Action at voteraction.org, and he's the director of this new campaign to get a constitutional amendment to clarify that corporations, the First Amendment is for people, that corporations are not covered under First Amendment protections, and corporations are not people. So just talk about the groups that are coming together and what everybody is doing. Do different groups in the coalition have different responsibilities in trying to move forward with this?
Well, we are certainly going to broaden, obviously, beyond the initial partners that we have on this, Public Citizen, Voter Action, Center for Corporate Policy, and the American Independent Business Alliance. But, you know, we are all joining together and building a grassroots campaign, and we want to work with people all across the country at all levels to ensure that we have a broad public consciousness about what the court has just done, to do public education around the nation, and to push for a constitutional amendment through the United States Congress. We've already been in contact with members of Congress, including Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who's featured in that video that I referenced, and it's clear that there will be other members to join her in calling for a constitutional amendment. And obviously, we want to make sure that this debate happens immediately and that it moves forward in a concerted fashion. We recognize that a constitutional amendment fight takes a long time, but we've got to start down this road now in order to reclaim the First Amendment and reclaim our democracy. If we have to wait until a new court, Nicole, we're going to be waiting for a long time to try to revisit this decision. We've got to make clear in the Constitution itself that corporations are not persons under the First Amendment, and the First Amendment is for people, not corporations.
Now, unfortunately, getting a constitutional amendment through is no easy feat. I spoke with Donna Edwards a little while ago, and a little bit later on this hour, we'll hear the interview I did with her. But can you let our listeners know, for those of us who are not legal scholars or just haven't been in a history class lately, what does it take to get a constitutional amendment?
It takes two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate to vote for the language of the amendment. It's then sent to the states for three-quarters of the states to ratify. That's one way. Another way is to have a constitutional convention, which would open up the Constitution to amendments of all kinds. We're not pushing for that. But we are pushing for Congress to take up this debate immediately. We know that this decision has sent shockwaves throughout Congress. Every one of those members of Congress is now vulnerable to being targeted by corporate America. And the kind of money that corporate America can spend in their elections will far, outweigh any kind of money that they've been able to raise up until this point, even the highest spending candidates and what they can raise. So, you know, there are other important principles here and reforms that need to be advanced. Public funding of elections is clearly one of them. But we have to recognize what the court has done today is so radical and such a direct attack on our democracy that a constitutional amendment is now necessary. In our nation's history, we have responded in kind to egregiously wrong decisions of the Supreme Court impacting our democracy with a constitutional amendment. Now, again, is one of those historical moments where we have to stand up and demand that amendment be placed into the Constitution.
So the first step really is for people to go to freespeechforpeople.org and get involved. Contact our members of Congress, our senators, and urge them to get in on this. And then what happens? Take us through the process of what's got to happen to get this done.
There will be hearings before the Judiciary Committees of both the Senate and the House if we have bills being moved forward in both the Senate and the House. There will then be a floor debate in both chambers, and there will be a vote, and then it will become a focus on the states, with three-quarters of the states needing to ratify this amendment. In the process of doing this, we will obviously work to build a broad-based grassroots movement that also pushes back against the courts, so that as newer cases come up through the courts, we have a legal environment in which judges are recognizing that the people do not stand for this, that there's popular uprising against this kind of ruling, and that they want it to be revisited and to be changed, and the amendment is being pushed to ensure that corporations no longer be treated as persons. All these pieces have to be moving forward at the same time, together in concert, and I think it's critical that we have people join us at freespeechforpeople.org to sign up, get involved. We need every single concerned person around this nation who is ready to help us. This is not going to happen by some Washington-led coalition. It's going to be a broad-based a campaign by people all across the nation.
All right. We are speaking with John Bonifaz, who is the director of this new campaign that is all coming together under the umbrella of FreeSpeechForPeople.org, pushing for a constitutional amendment. Now, there was a conference call, as I mentioned earlier this afternoon, which I did record, and I will post a link to the audio right after the show at RadioOrNot.com. But on it, you were on it, along with Robert Weissman and Scott Nelson of Public Citizen and Lisa Gilbert of U.S. Public Interest. What is U.S.?
U.S. Public Interest Research Group.
Research Group. And she was talking about two other intermediate fixes that that you guys are all working on. One is a Shareholder Accountability Act, and the other is the Fair Elections Now Act. Can you shed a little light on those?
Sure. The Fair Elections Now Act is the public funding measure I referenced, which is basically to bring to the national level what is happening in some key states like Maine and Arizona and Connecticut, where public funding of elections has leveled the playing field, has brought people into the political process who otherwise would never be able to run for office, and has enabled those who have participated in the private money-drenched system to opt out of that and move into a publicly financed system where they can meet with the voters and talk about the issues of the day rather than focus around raising money from fat cats. And the public funding measure at the national level mirrors that effort. It's the Fair Elections Now Act. It's sponsored and led by Senator Dick Durbin, and it is something that is critical to support. The shareholder legislation that Lisa Gilbert referenced in the call deals with the idea that we ought to also respond to this ruling by requiring greater corporate governance and having shareholders essentially sign off and vote on any kind of expenditure by corporations when management wants to spend money in political campaigns. Now, I think both measures are important, but I do want to emphasize that at the end of the day, we've got to deal with the core question here, which is that corporations are not persons under the First Amendment. They do not have protections under the First Amendment. They're artificial state entities. The framers never intended for corporations to have free speech rights, and that's why a constitutional amendment is so critical. But we will be working along all tracks. At freespeechforpeople.org, we're focused on an amendment. I know our allies may also be pushing other reforms, but we do believe it's critical to ensure that we ultimately take back the First Amendment in our democracy that we push this amendment strategy.
Most definitely. Now, I mentioned to you earlier, when we spoke earlier today, that I was going to be speaking with Congressman Alan Grayson, and he has been very tough in supporting campaign finance reforms. I did ask him about a constitutional amendment. He said he would definitely support that, but he thinks getting a constitutional amendment is very, very difficult. Did you hear about these five pieces of legislation he introduced?
I have heard about it. I can't say I've studied them, but I know he's been out front and talking about being prepared for this ruling, and had actually already signaled he was going to be pushing these matters. So, I think that there's going to be a lot of different responses, and I certainly applaud whatever leadership can come forward and demonstrate. But at the end of the day, again, I've got to say, as difficult as an amendment is, when we look at our nation's history, if people who were pushing for the women's suffrage amendment had said, well, it's just going to be too difficult to get women the right to vote, let's just fold our tent and go home, we would never have the women's suffrage movement. If people had said that about the 13th, 14th Amendments, or if they had said that even about the 24th Amendment, banning poll taxes in our federal elections, all these amendments are part of our nation's history, and they demonstrate that people coming together at the grassroots level can make change and can ensure that our Constitution is continuing to represent we the people, and in this instance, not represent we the corporation.
Right. Okay. One last question for you. This, on the surface, should not be a left versus right thing. This is like citizens, people, regular people versus corporations. So why is the GOP cheering this decision?
Well, I'm not so sure Republicans all across the land are cheering it. I think the GOP leadership and members of Congress in Washington may be cheering it. But I agree with you. I think this crosses all party lines, and I think there will be Republican-minded as well as Democratic, independent, and minor party, minded people all across the land who believe that we've got to reclaim the First Amendment, that this is way out of line with what the framers ever intended. I think there are elements within the Democratic Party and the Republican Party combined that cater to corporate interests. And certainly those elements benefit by today's decision because they will get more support from corporate America because of their corporate-generated positions. But those elements of both parties, as well as other parties and as well as independents, that challenge corporate America, they will suffer and ordinary citizen voices will suffer unless we take on this core question and demand an amendment to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I do have one more question. I've had obviously a kind of crazy day today, so I didn't get to read the decision. The votes came down. It was a 5-4 vote, just pretty much as we expected it to come down. Do we know what the holdup was, why it took so long? I mean, they expected this decision before Christmas, and it was delayed and delayed and delayed. Do we know what the holdup was? And what did Justice Sotomayor do? Did she do anything outstanding? Did she sound any alarms here?
Well, first of all, she was part of the dissent, so she mm-hmm. clearly signaled that at the re-argument in September, which was her first sitting as a Supreme Court justice, and she was part of the dissent. But in addition, I mean, why do they take so long? I mean, frankly, you know, to engage in this radical departure and overturn central precedent, they did it rather quickly. Mm. They asked for re-argument in September, which was a rushed process, you know, after having decided not to issue an opinion at the end of the last term, which ended in late June, early July. So they gave the parties only literally a few months to do all the briefing and file it in time for re-argument. And then they basically, in 4 months' time, issue this opinion. And this opinion is very lengthy, and the dissents include a 90-page dissent by Supreme Court Justice Stevens. So I think what was happening here most likely is that the majority was ready probably the day after the re-argument to issue its ruling. It was pretty much set on what it was going to do.
Wow.
But the dissents were able to at least spend some time writing their dissents, and that delayed somewhat the issuance of the ruling. But, unfortunately, the outcome was the same as people feared, the worst outcome possible, which is for the court to literally go over the cliff here and overturn the precedent that, as I said, has for so long made clear that corporations may not spend their general treasury funds in our elections. Now they're given the green light to do so, and I can guarantee you there are corporate executives all over the nation who are beginning to calculate what they're going to do in the 2010 cycle, where they're going to spend their money, whom they're going to target, and how they're going to influence the election outcomes.
Now, this goes into effect immediately. I mean, so
absolutely,
right?
Immediately.
So corporations can start either spending money or threatening to spend money.
That's
The
threat alone will change our politics. I mean, the fact is, all they need to do is make an example out of one member of Congress,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of them will be running scared. Unless they're willing to stand up and say, you know, I'll lose my office, I'll lose the job over this because I'm not going to cater to what corporate America wants. But a lot of them, I fear, will compromise, will run scared, and our politics will be further compromised by this money-drenched system in a way that we've never seen before.
It is truly scary. John Bonifaz, thank you so much for filling us in on this today. If that didn't make you get off your butt and get to freespeechforpeople.org and help spread the word, and so we need to just get on there, make that the central clearinghouse, and get with the program, because if we don't turn this around, I'm afraid what we saw on Tuesday in Massachusetts is just the tip of the iceberg. We've lost our government, and we need to get it back.
Absolutely, Nicole. You said it absolutely right.
All right. John, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
And thank you so much.
We will stay in touch and do this again and keep up the good fight, because it's all we've got now. We've got to do it.
That's right. You too. Take care now.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. John Bonifaz, he's the legal director of Voter Action at voteraction.org. And again, the director of the new campaign for a constitutional amendment clarifying the fact that corporations are not people. Are we going to be able to get it done? I don't know. I mean, you heard what it takes to get a constitutional amendment. My God, we can't get health care passed with, supposedly 60 votes in the Senate. I think we are at an impasse. I think we've been at an impasse for a long time, but it's come to a head here, and I don't know how it's going to get any better. All right. I'll tell you. Yeah. And Griffin, Texas just said bye-bye net neutrality. We'll get to that topic next week because I've covered that a lot, and we'll put in a call to, Josh Silver at, freepress.net. I'll tell you, it's, today, January 21st, 2010 is a day that will go down in infamy. This is a bad day. All right. Coming up in a little while, we will check in with John Fugelsang. Let's see if he can get me to laugh today. You know what? One of the beautiful things about not being on the radio is we don't have to take a commercial break. But let's do this. We'll take a little musical interlude. All right. And come back. We will hear from Congressman Alan Grayson and Congresswoman Donna Edwards. All right. Stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler on Radio or Not.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, it is Barry Maguire and Eve of Destruction. My boyfriend will tell you I'm not big on the classic rock, but I don't know what other song it fits more perfectly tonight. I hear noise coming from the other room. Okay, the president, Barack Obama, did release a statement today on this Supreme Court decision. He said, with its ruling today, the Supreme Court has given a green light to a new stampede of special interest money in our politics. It is a major victory for big oil, Wall Street banks, health insurance companies, and the other powerful interests that marshal their power every day in Washington to drown out the voices of everyday Americans. This ruling gives the special interests and their lobbyists even more power in Washington, while undermining the influence of average Americans who make small contributions to support their preferred candidates. That's why I'm instructing my administration to get to work immediately with Congress on this issue. We're going to talk with bipartisan congressional leaders to develop a forceful response to this decision. The public interest requires nothing less. Nothing less. You know, I applaud his statement. I hope he means it. He loses me at bipartisan, because haven't we learned yet that there is no bipartisan in this Congress? This Congress, the Republican Party in 2010 will not, does not want to, has no intention of working with this president. All they want to do is kill whatever President Obama wants to do. It is the party of no. And that's what is truly scary. All right. We are going to, let's move on. All right. Again, this no commercial thing is it's good because I like the music part. We'll get there. You got to roll with me. Now, just a note, tomorrow night, I'm going to take off. I'm going to take a long weekend, sort of decompress, figure out what happened. I'm asking you to email me and let me know. I'll tell you, as much as I love doing this show, I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm thanking the stars or whatever, that the universe, that I started doing this Ustream broadcast a few weeks ago, because now we've got the infrastructure here and we can keep going until I figure out how to get back on the air somewhere, or on a, you know, a stream, or, you know, how to do it, because I have no idea. But I am going to take tomorrow night off. But I want you to tell me when you would like to hear the show. Because honestly, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern is way too late for me. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be in bed by now. So, the question for you is, what time do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it from like 10 a.m. to noon? I'd say probably, you know, not going to do it noon to three, because I don't want to go up against, Tom Hartman. Just not going to do it. I enjoy listening to him too much. I can do it 3 to 5. I can do it 4 to 6, 5 to 7. So email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, and let me know your preference. When would you like to hear and see this show? And again, yeah, you know, we will be able to do the podcast thing. For now, I am recording the shows, so you'll be able to listen through Ustream. I got to find a way to extract the audio and podcast the audio, and I'll do that. I'm pretty good at that stuff. So we'll figure it all out. In the meantime, you know, the people in the chat room at Ustream are coming up with all kinds of suggestions. If you have a job for me, hey, I'm ready. I am available for hire. If you want to pitch me to your local station and tell them they need to pick up my show, hey, I'd be very appreciative. All right. In the next hour, we'll get a little bit more into the radio thing, talk about what happened with Air America. Rick says XM needs new talent badly. I'd love to go to XM. And again, you know, it's not going to happen just by me calling them and saying, hey, you should hire me. But if they hear from enough listeners who say, you know, we want to hear Nicole Sandler on the air, who knows? It might. All right. So here's what happened this afternoon. I don't know what time it was, that Betsy in Texas instant messaged me on Facebook and alerted me to the fact that AirAmerica.com had a message up on the website saying they were done, that they were filing Chapter 7 and ceasing live programming, and it was over. I had no idea.
this was maybe 3 minutes to 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, I was scheduled to record an interview with Congressman Alan Grayson to talk about the Supreme Court ruling tonight. Needless to say, it wasn't my finest moment. Alan Grayson, who can be a very funny, charming guy, I don't think knew how to react to my demeanor and the news that I told him right before we went on, started recording, that Air America had just gone away. Needless to say, I was not so much focused on the interview as much as I should be. But that said, here's my conversation with Congressman Alan Grayson. Hey, Congressman Grayson, thank you so much for calling.
Yes, how are you?
Well, I've been better, actually. Today has not been a great day, has it?
No, it's a real problem. And I think good people are working all over the country to try to make it a better situation.
Most definitely. And we, of course, and I'm taping now, we, of course, are talking about the Supreme Court ruling handed down earlier this morning in the case Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission, which basically said that corporations are people and therefore have the same rights under the First Amendment and did away with most of the restrictions on campaign contributions. Can you explain to people why this is so troubling?
Well, what it means very simply is that the law is now up for sale and it'll be sold to the highest bidder. It allows corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money to reward the public officials who do their bidding and unlimited amounts of money to punish those who actually try to represent the interests of the people. It's an unconscionable decision that will put our democracy itself at risk.
Yes, you got that right. Now, Congressman Grayson, you are calling me shortly after 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and we had set up this interview to play back on my Air America show tonight. If
yeah.
I sound a little strained, it's because I just got the news literally 60 seconds before you called that Air America Media has ceased its live programming operations as of this afternoon, and the company will soon file under Chapter 7 of the bankruptcy code, and they will wind down their operations. So I will continue doing a show live on the internet, but Air America, the one liberal network as of today, is no longer.
Well, I think before long, every media outlet in the country will be a subsidiary of Fox News the way we're going, and there'll be nothing even remotely resembling news any longer because we won't have any sort of, differentiation or variety in what we see. It'll be all corporate all the time.
It is really scary. What hope can you give people listening right now? We saw a guy posing as an independent who really has been a shill for the teabaggers win a Senate seat in Massachusetts, a seat that has been held since 1952 by the Democrats, and the Democratic Party looking like all is lost because they now only have 59 seats in the Senate. Where are we? So the Republicans are now ruling the Senate 41-59?
Well, before we leave the subject of what to do about the Supreme Court's decision,
no,
I want to point out that we've created a website called savedemocracy.net to allow people to sign a petition. We already have, in less than 24 hours, over 16,000 signatures.
Uh-huh.
And that petition, I think, will show people that America is still alive and ticking, that you can do something about this. I've introduced 6 bills because I expected the worst with this decision. I've introduced 6 bills to try to cut back on this utter chaos that the Supreme Court's unleashing in campaign finance by, among other things, requiring shareholder approval when you try to buy an election. And I would encourage people to come to the website that I just mentioned, savedemocracy.net, and show their support. Now, with regard to your question, I don't think that healthcare reform is dead at all. As you pointed out, there's still 59 senators. 59% of the House is still Democratic. In the 222-year course of history in the House of Representatives And in the Senate, the amount of time that any one party has had a filibuster-proof majority is minuscule. The fact that we saw it for a few months doesn't mean that that's somehow the norm, and somehow we did manage to pass some significant legislation in all those many, many, many years when neither party had a filibuster-proof majority. Now, it is true that the Republicans seem bent on destroying any effort to actually reform and improve the country. That much seems to be clear. But the fact is that with the White House and with 59% of the House and 59 senators, we ought to be able to do something good for people, and I think we will. I really do think that. I think that you will see health care reform pass, and I think that people are going to see a clear difference between the party that wants to help them and improve their lives and solve the problems they can't solve themselves and the party that wants to do nothing.
Now, do you think it'll have to be split up into smaller bills, or do you think the House is going to pass the Senate bill as it is now?
No, actually, I think that the Senate will pass some amendments to its own bill, probably through the reconciliation process, and that the House then will pass the Senate bill as amended. I think that's the most likely. What you just described is possible. I mean, certainly nothing prevents the House from passing the Senate bill, but I don't think that that's the best approach. There are other possibilities as well. I mean, you know, you can't help but wonder that the Republicans really want to be nothing but the party of no and have that as their record going into this year's election. Maybe at least one or two of them think something good can be done to improve people's lives and that the status quo isn't perfect. But be that as it may, there's a number of different options, and the leadership is working through them, and everyone seems to recognize that you can't solve the problems of healthcare by ignoring them.
Oh, that is definitely true. Congressman Alan Grayson is with us here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Well, I want to get back to the Supreme Court ruling today, and sorry for jumping around. I'm just a little shell-shocked at the moment. Donna Edwards, a congresswoman from Maryland, is getting behind a movement to call for a constitutional amendment to state clearly that corporations are not people and therefore are not covered under the First Amendment. Would you be willing to get behind a move like that?
Well, I think that would be very productive, but I have to tell you that it's a lot harder to pass a constitutional amendment than it is to pass a bill, particularly when you control 59% of the House and the Senate, as well as the White House. This has clearly become already a partisan issue. The Republicans are celebrating, and it's very revealing that there was, when I was in the courtroom hearing the Supreme Court render its decision this morning, there was only one other elected official in the courtroom, and that was Mitch McConnell, the Republican head of the Senate. The minority leader in the Senate, and the Republicans are just licking their chops at the thought of being paid off with unlimited corporate support, since the Republican Party is essentially a wholly owned subsidiary of corporate America already. So we're not going to be able to get the two-thirds and the three-quarters that we need for a constitutional amendment anytime soon when the Republicans are desperate to keep mainlining that corporate cash the way that they've been doing, and that this decision only helps to facilitate. So I think Donna's on the right track, but I think it's more realistic to think that we can pass legislation that will try to deal with this problem rather than a constitutional amendment. But I'm not saying we need to choose between the two. I think we can go ahead with both approaches.
Right. Now, you mentioned you've introduced six pieces of legislation. I know of four of them. The Businesses Should Mind Their Own Business Act, saying that, did you say a 500% excise tax should be levied on corporate contributions to campaigns and PACs?
We've introduced a whole series of bills to deal with this because, frankly, I saw it coming, and we were prepared. We introduced five bills last week. We introduced one more bill this week, and one of the bills that we introduced was what you described, which is a tax, relying upon the fact that the Constitution specifically spells out the Congress's power to tax. Another one is what called the Corporate Propaganda Sunshine Act, which I think the Supreme Court said today quite explicitly that they would find constitutional. And that simply requires that corporations almost immediately disclose in real time when they try to influence elections. Another bill that we introduced that already has drawn the leadership support is a bill to prohibit multi-organization corporate PACs. What happens right now is that, let's say that the beer distributors want to just to pick an example at random, I'm not unloading on the beer distributors here, but there's some of my best friends who drink beer, but the point is, if the beer distributors want to get together and influence elections right now, they can form a pact that covers the whole industry rather than working individually. They can actually coordinate their efforts through such a pact. And that's, I think, a violation of the antitrust law. And that's what our bill recognizes. That's H.R. 4433. We're also going to explicitly make it a crime for candidates who benefit from these so-called independent expenditures to vote in favor of the interests that are seeking their favor, and so on. I mean, we've introduced a number of different bills that serve a number of different purposes, but the fundamental purpose is to make sure that our system is not drowned in corporate money.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a big fight ahead of us. I know somebody mentioned earlier to me in an email the idea of adding more Supreme Court justices. But the bottom line is this underscores the need for a Democrat in the White House, because we have this very activist Supreme Court, I think, because George W. Bush has, was able to appoint a number of them who have decided to rule this way. It just shows
they
we've got to
work harder.
They
have thrown 104 years of law out the window today. And it's amazing to me that the right wing whines about judicial activism when you can scarcely imagine a more so-called judicially activist decision than this one. They had a case that could have been decided on much narrower grounds, was argued on narrower grounds, and they insisted that the parties come back and argue something to the court that had barely been mentioned originally, which is this bizarre concept that corporations have the right to bribe through campaign expenditures. And that became the basis for this very narrow 5-4 decision that overturns over a century of law and precedent.
It is a sad day, well, now on a lot of levels here in America. Congressman Alan Grayson, I appreciate you calling today and fighting the good fight. And the website, again, is savedemocracy.net?
Yes.
Savedemocracy.net. I will post a link on my blog at radioornot.com. And I really appreciate speaking with you. I hope we can do it again soon.
Okay, great. Thank you, too.
All right, so there you have my interview from this afternoon with Alan Grayson. I was a little bit unfocused because, well, I had just gotten the news that Air America Radio was folding. And I'm doing the interview and my head is spinning. So thus I was jumping around from subject to subject. He sounded a bit down too, but I guess that's only to be expected on a day like today. Today, was mind-blowing. I've got two chat rooms open, by the way. Tom Hartman, who is one of my favorite people in the world, allows me the use of his chat room at tomhartman.com. I'm amazed. You guys are awesome. They're such a huge group. I think it's the biggest group of people in Tom Hartman's chat room since I've been using his chat, and I've been doing it for months. We've also got a great group in the Ustream chat room. So I thank all of you for being here tonight. I really do. I told myself I wasn't going to well up, and I still do. But in the next hour, we will hear from Donna Edwards, Congresswoman from Maryland, who was the first one who signed on to this new campaign that John Bonifaz talked about in the first at the top of the show, freespeechforpeople.org. And again, Alan Grayson's website is savedemocracy.net. I say, get with all of them. People for the American Way has a petition up. I mean, this might be the issue that pulls us all together, because this might be the issue that gets us out in the streets. Because what's happening now is that the corporations will be able to use money as a threat against candidates. I mean, they don't even have to spend the money. They just have to threaten to spend the money. And I guarantee you politicians will roll over like my dog on her back when she wants her stomach rubbed.
This is the true end of democracy. This might be the end of the experiment that is the United States of America. I mean, we have a big job ahead of us, and this might be what we need to get us to take to the streets. All right, we're going to take a short musical interlude here. I'm going to go refill up my water bottle. I'm going to blow my nose. and we'll be back. We'll check in with our pal John Fugelsang. And again, we'll see if he can make me laugh. He's, you know, he's great. I always kid him on Thursday nights that he can make me laugh about things that aren't funny. So we'll see if he can do it tonight. All right, and in the meantime, let's hear from Randy Newman with some words of wisdom. Randy Newman, he is the master of musical satire. You know, one good thing might come out of this. I might be able to do a show that mixes politics and music, and I'll be in heaven. You know, hey, I'd much rather play a song than commercials. So we'll see. You know, they say every cloud has a silver lining, right? All right. It is 12 midnight straight up. Let's do this. Let's give John Fugelsang a call. And I'm just going to let it dial. And all right. One ringy dingy. He is expecting our call, by the way.
Hello?
John Fugelsang.
Hi there.
Hi, you are live on Radio or Not. We are
welcome. Hello, Radio or Not.
We are streaming on Ustream. This is our first post-Air America show.
It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. You know, you're my Thursday night guy, and I was, you know, last week I was kidding you about how you have this ability to make me laugh when things just really aren't funny. Well, boy, today you got your job cut out for you.
Oh, I think the entire progressive movement needs a nice Zoloft smoothie after a day like today.
No kidding. We start the day with the news that the Supreme Court sold us out to the corporations, and we're basically screwed unless we can get a constitutional amendment.
For starters, yeah, it's a pretty appalling situation, and I think a lot of people were really caught off guard by it, but now corporations have pretty much the legal right to buy everything, and this is all because of the Supreme Court, which we call SCOTUS, but this was the Republican members of the Supreme Court who did this,
yeah.
And I call them SCROTUS, because they just teabag democracy.
Yeah, and I call them screwed us.
Mm. It was it was Scalia, it was Kennedy, Roberts, Alito, and Thomas, or as I call them, Scrat. And these are the guys who are making sure that the moneyed interests stay that way. You know, James Madison said the primary purpose of government is to protect property from the masses. And what we just saw here today was taking bribery to a whole new level. Here's how it works. If courts give rights to people, they're activist judges, but if they give rights to corporations, they're free speech heroes.
Isn't that amazing? And it's true. I mean, it's not even a joke. It's true.
It's incredibly sad, you know, and this is all while the teabaggers are trying to take back their country and protect their constitution, the whole thing's being pretty much sold away. It's kind of shocking, and I will give credit to John McCain, because he's one of the few Republicans to stand up and just say how wrong this is. John McCain didn't have a very good week either, because Cindy McCain came out in favor of gay marriage, and John McCain came out opposed to his own. But, the main thing is they're trying to say that corporations are people here, and just because corporations can screw you doesn't quite make them human.
No, and it doesn't feel good either.
It's a very ugly scene.
It really is. However, this might be the thing that brings this country together. If John McCain can speak out against it, maybe there is some hope that some Republicans will realize what an affront to democracy, to small d democracy, this ruling was.
Well, and that's why folks have to really resist the propaganda you're going to hear. And what you're going to keep hearing everywhere is, well, this helps unions, too. This helps unions as well. I mean, I've heard this so many times today, equating labor unions and teacher unions with big pharma and insurance companies and oil companies and defense contractors. Folks, the difference is oil companies pressure politicians to relax pollution laws and get control of foreign petroleum reserves through military force. Teachers' unions pressure politicians for dental plans and new staplers.
Right. Well, and better pay, because teachers are ridiculously underpaid. But you know what? Today, so are most of us. Unless you work on Wall Street or in a big bank, in one of the too big to fail banks, then chances are you're struggling today.
Yeah. I mean, this is just more proof that we need publicly financed elections. We need, debates that are open to parties besides just the two, and then automatic runoff elections for the House and Senate and the presidency from the top two of each election. It's just, we know it more than ever. The conservative media is going to keep telling us that, this is a victory saving America from Acorn and those inner city kids who have far too much control over the government. I don't really know how huge this is going to be, but I think we'll know very, very shortly. But ask your conservative friends, what happens when a Saudi corporation wants to buy off a politician now, or an Israeli one, or an Australian billionaire? Because pretty much what happened today was America went public, and the Chinese aren't going to like that we put ourselves up for sale without asking them first.
Yeah, no kidding, because they thought they already owned us.
Mm-hmm. Corporations will now have all the power, pay none of the taxes, and people will get more reality shows.
Ay, ay, ay. John Fugelsang is with us. He's only with us for a short time tonight because you've got to get up early tomorrow. But I really appreciate you coming on tonight because, well, after, yes, I'm getting ready today to do this show, and I had, you know, I was going to do something on the senator from Alaska trying to kill clean air legislation, and so I was moving things around to try to deal with the Supreme Court ruling, and posting on Facebook and putting up links, and I was cooking. You know, my sister came to town today, and she took Allison out this afternoon, and they went out to dinner and to a movie, and you know, I'm plugging away, and I just posted that Alan Grayson I'm losing my train of Donna Edwards were going to be on tonight, and somebody instant messaged me on Facebook and said, "Didn't you hear about Air America?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, they've stopped all live programming." And I'm like, "Where'd you hear this?" And she said, "Go look at the website." And sure enough, there it was. And less than literally 2 minutes later, Alan Grayson called to tape this interview with me. So my head was spinning, and here we are. So it went from being a really, you know what, I can say this because we're not over the air, a really shitty day to a majorly fucked up day. How's that for freedom from the airwaves?
Well, when John Edwards finally admits that he's the father of the baby and the only person to talk seriously about poverty goes down in flames and humiliation, and that's the best part of your day, it's a pretty sad time. And I just want to tell you, in the presence of all your listeners, how honored I've been to work with you and how inspired I've been by what you've brought to the radio. Nicole, you've done something that's so positive, that's so smart, that's so fierce. A lot of times you'll hear progressive or liberal radio, and they just mean Democrat. Mm. You know, I don't consider Fox News to be conservative. I consider it to be pro-Republican.
Yep.
MSNBC, I think a lot of their programming really tends to be pro-Democrat. Rachel's definitely a liberal. And with Scarborough and Buchanan, I think they have more conservatives than Fox has. But I got to say, you've never toed the party line, and you've never been afraid to call Democratic figures out when they deserve it. And I really admire your objectivity, that you stay truer to principle than the party, and you have a really fun show with great guests, and it's a place where you can talk about great music, too.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. You know, here's the silver lining to the cloud. I don't have to break for commercials, so I'm able to throw in songs. And until, you know, I figure out exactly which way this show is going to go and where it's going to be, you know what? I will play music when I need to take a break and change direction and things like that. So, hey, I could wind up doing my ideal show, which is a mix of music and politics and things that matter in our lives. And I'll tell you, one of the emails I got from somebody, and I'm blessed. I mean, I haven't gotten a lot done today. I would have pulled a lot more sound from today and stuff, but I've been answering emails and sending out emails. And by the way, if you haven't signed up for my email list yet, please do at radioornot.com. I've got a sign up sheet there, or, you know, a little link that you can type in your email address so I can keep you posted on what's happening with the show. Because I am going to move it to earlier in the day, because this 1 a.m. thing, you know, is really difficult. So, you know, again, sign up for the email list. But anyway, through one of the emails said that, losing my train of thought. It's one of those days, John. One of the reasons that Air America failed was because for a long time it towed the party line. It was very pro Democrat. And even for a while there, Danny Goldberg was president. You know, they've had a series of management mishaps. And one of the big problems is that for the longest time, it wasn't run by radio people. The radio people didn't get there until way too late. And so it was almost doomed from the start. Their business model at the very beginning was flawed. And they weren't radio people. They didn't understand what radio was about. And really, the first rule...
Putting Chuck D and Rachel Maddow and Liz Winstead together in the morning wasn't...
Actually, I think that was one of their better ideas.
But, I loved it, actually.
Yeah, that was one of the good ideas. But especially like when Danny Goldberg was there, their thing was to get Democrats elected. Well, you know what? No, their number one goal should have been to entertain, to do good radio. Get people on who have the conviction of their beliefs, who first of all, are radio people, and they didn't have a lot of radio people on at the beginning either, but have people on who felt what they were doing
believed it with a strength and did good radio. You know, somebody just mentioned in the chat room, Morning Sedition was badass. You know what? Do you remember Morning Sedition with Mark Maron? That was a great show. I listened to that show religiously. And when they killed it, I was bummed. Well, that was during the Danny Goldberg era. Danny Goldberg is the one who killed that show, and he came in just with an ideological bent saying, oh, we got to get Democrats elected. We got to get this agenda passed. Well, that's not what a radio company is there for. They're what they're there for is to get ratings and to entertain. And if you do that, then you can get your agenda through. Look at Fox. You know
well,
what?
Of course. Well, it's a bit different. It is a bit different. I think that, you know, Fox is different, a very different model for many reasons. It's hard in general to get progressive radio anywhere on the AM dial, which is so dominated by conservative radio. But there's a few reasons for this. Number one, the status quo is always going to be stronger than the people trying to change things. That's human history, and that's why evolution takes such a long time, you know. When Columbus first came to America and began enslaving indigenous peoples, his Catholic priest on the boat protested to the Queen. That was the first time anyone in North America protested slavery, and it took 500 years to get rid of it anyway, and another 100 years to get rid of apartheid. Progress takes a long time. Secondly, you're never going to go broke telling conservative people that they're right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks that don't have a lot of confidence and don't really feel that... let's just say the more academic news speaks to them, appealing to them emotionally, dropping the Bible and babies and the flag at just the right times is really going to, it's more like a drug. Fox News is a really good drug that you can take to make you feel a certain way. And you'll never go broke telling people who were wrong about everything for 8 years that they've been right all along. And finally, the sad truth of the matter is liberals tend to kind of have lives, and they're off doing their own thing and not necessarily tuning in all the time to getting orders from the troops. It's really sad, but it's one of the reasons why you're a leader, Nicole, and the kind of work you do is the kind of stuff that, you know, it's one voice in the wilderness that eventually becomes the mainstream. And it's a pleasure to work with someone who's a pioneer like you and who's a fearless warrior like you, because I think you're doing the Lord's work.
Well, thank you. And so while we're in this mutual admiration society mode, let me just say what one of the reasons I love working with you so much is because you get it. You know what's going on. You're very aware. You know, a lot of comedians, even a lot of comedians who do political humor, you know, they may read the headlines, but they don't seem to have a deep understanding of what's going on. You know, you get it much in the way that Jon Stewart, that the Daily Show and the Colbert Report get it, because, you know, you feel it too. You can tell when someone's genuine, when they understand what's going on and they do have convictions. And so you combine that with a very quick wit and just smart, funny stuff. And that, you know, and you've got that, and that's a rare quality as well. I am not that quick-witted, you know. I remember stupid facts. I remember, you know, I've got this weird musical knowledge, and I remember things. But you know, the reason I think good at this is because I'm really opinionated, and I've spent 30 years behind the microphone. So, you know, that I guess that qualifies me for it. And I'm a concerned citizen who was so sick and tired and fed up with the way things have been going. But, you know, who would have thought last November 4th, you know, on my 49th birthday, that we would be sitting here on January 21st, 2010, freaking out over the fact that, you know, the Democrats seem to be so... out of control, even though they still have 59 seats in the Senate and an 80-seat majority in the House, because, you know, and the Supreme Court would turn our democracy upside down and we would have corporations being able to buy elections.
Well, I got to say, you know, it's kind of funny hearing all the Democrats complaining about losing the 60-seat majority, because I feel like, well, it's not like you were doing that much
with
it. Yeah,
no kidding.
But I have this really kind of radical, left-wing, crazy idea about what we're seeing now in American politics. And that idea is that God's in charge and that all empires of man must collapse. And the sooner America has its inevitable tough times that are coming and has to scale back from being an empire and go back to being a republic, a democratic republic, The sooner this country gets its ass kicked in that way, and it may take a couple generations, but once we go back to being just another country that takes care of ourselves, I think that that's going to be the healing and the rebirth of America. What we're seeing now is the beginning of the end of the beginning of America. And now it's going to be time for this country to go and regenerate. Because as it is now, we're creating a country that's strong on the outside and sick on the inside. That's how empires collapse. The Soviets, aren't the British a lot more likable now that they're not running the world anymore? The Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, they've all got to go sometime. And the sooner America can you just have that collapse, let China run the world, and let us get back to being a country, that's what this is all about. And that's why I have a lot of hope. We're just passing through history. Our job while we're here is to be beacons of light and truth and honesty and have as much fun as we can and make it easier for the rest of us and try and bring as many of our friends into the light as possible.
Yeah, the problem, John Fugel saying, though, is that may take, as you said, a couple of generations. And here we are at the beginning of the 21st century, and it looks like we're kind of screwed for the next generation or so.
Indeed, very much.
Yeah, and I don't know what kind of future my daughter's going to have. And here I am. I mean, I've just found out I'm unemployed again today, and my insurance runs out next month. So I'm trying to think, okay, where do we go from here? And I would love nothing more than for our government to pull back. But here we are spending, an additional, $30 million in Iraq just for the in Afghanistan for the additional troops that are going to go over there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me today, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but we're spending like $100 million in Haiti. Well, I'd much rather spend, and we've got more troops in Haiti now than we do in Afghanistan. I'd much rather have our troops and our money being spent in Haiti than Afghanistan and Iraq. But the fact of the matter is, we can't afford any of it. We have people here who are broke and going bankrupt and who don't have health care and who are losing their homes. And what the hell, when does it end? When do we start taking care of people at home?
Well, we talked about this before on your show, but I'm among those who consider the surge of troops in Afghanistan to actually be a jobs program. And, that's if you can take the point of view that the current military-industrial complex works as sort of a welfare or workfare program for southern states, it makes a lot of sense. War is business. And when there is no enemy for more than 10 or 15 years, you have to create a new one. And we have not declared war since 1941. There is no such thing as a war on terror. You can't conquer terror. It's like saying the war on bad vibes. So it's mm-hmm. perpetual war for perpetual peace, as Gore Vidal called it. And it's going to keep on going for a long time. Obama seems really determined to perpetuate this. We're not going to be able to out-thug the Middle Eastern thugs. And I'm on the side of any Christian, any Jew, or any Muslim who's seeking a nonviolent solution to these destructive conflicts. But essentially, it's a very old story. It's the middle-aged men on our side and the middle-aged men on their side sending the young men out to die. And I'm afraid that this is, again, part of our economy. And when World War II ended, Harry Truman had the choice to shift to a domestic economy or keep us at a World War II economy. He chose to keep us at a wartime economy, and that's why our defense budget now dwarfs all other defense budgets combined. There better be some aliens somewhere that the White House knows about and isn't telling us, because there's no other reason to justify our current military budget.
You're right, but they're spending it. I mean, the war in Afghanistan, we're still in Iraq, and again, I don't begrudge anything we're doing in Haiti. But, again, when are they? The Republicans are fine. Well, I guess they're not fine with us helping Haiti. But they're fine with us spending these billions of dollars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but they don't want to give people at home health care.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And that's a very simple formula. Don't forget to tell your Republican friends, if you don't believe in competition, you're not a capitalist. And if you don't believe in saving American lives, you're not a patriot. And we spent all this money to save American lives by fighting terror, but not by fighting tumors. And if you don't believe in helping the sick, it's time to stop calling yourself a Christian and find a new name for your smug, elitist, closed little club. Because Jesus would weep at the callous disregard of the prayer against care movement in America.
You got that right. Hey, John Fugelsang. So, you know, before today, I thought you and I would have a field day tonight talking about Scott Brown, and we haven't even touched on him yet.
I know. It's actually a pleasure to talk about the whole thing. I know it's really sad. Apparently, no one gets health care because Martha Coakley didn't feel like campaigning.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because Scott, well, first off, let's talk about the naked picture because I kind of love it. I assume you've seen it by now, right?
Oh, yeah, the Cosmos centerfold.
Yes, where he's hiding his junk behind his wrist.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to point out to folks, Scott's arm is very long, but not all that thick. they wanted Scott Brown to comment on that naked picture, and he finally just released a short statement saying that he wants the people of Massachusetts to know it was very cold in Massachusetts the day that picture was taken. Because I kind of knew he'd win, because anyone who saw that centerfold knew he had a little secret weapon tucked away.
Mm-hmm.
We lost the line of the Senate and got the New England peacock. And this guy is already being touted by the Republicans as presidential material.
Unbelievable.
This guy's pro-choice. This guy ran as a pro-choice Republican. Game over.
Over. Yeah, no. Yeah, you know, but the thing is, he's a pretty face, like Sarah Palin. And this is, as I've said this to you before, the whole political scene has turned into a giant reality show. It is the only real reality show out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they marched Sarah Palin and her family out on stage at the Republican convention in St. Paul, I said, straight out of central casting, they looked good. They were the Republicans' antidote to the Obama family. And so now you got Scott Brown, another pretty boy, and, you know, with his truck. And that's what they're going for. He's a smooth talker. He's a charmer. But there's not too many bulbs in that chandelier.
Well, I'm actually working on a reality show about President Obama right now called New Deal or No New Deal. And, you know, really, it comes down to this. They're all bemoaning the fact that health care is dead and that Scott Brown's vote means that health care is dead. And today Pelosi said there aren't the votes in the House to pass the Senate health care bill. Even with 59 votes, even if they lost Landreau and Nelson and Lieberman, they could put the public option back in, put this thing to the vote in the Senate using reconciliation. They could pass it 56-44, boom, tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And they're choosing not to do it.
Exactly. And the other thing, you know, what they could do is chop it up into smaller pieces and pass the stuff that they can all agree on and dare the Republicans to go against, disallowing, you know, pre-existing conditions, to go against rescission, you know, to getting rid of rescission. But why aren't they even talking about that yet? And right now it's just like everything's stalled. Well, we can't do anything till Scott Brown is sworn in. What?
Well, at this point, the bill is dead. This bill has about as much chance getting passed as a studio greenlighting Men Who Stare at Goats 2. It's not going to happen. But what Obama could do to save face, number one, he could put through a bill that bans pre-existing conditions, claim a win.
Yep.
Number two, if this bill is dead, that means all deals with Big Pharma are off.
Yeah.
We could push through a deal legitimizing Americans buying cheaper cost Canadian drugs.
Right, bring back the reimportation of prescription drugs. Bring back the Medicare buy-in for people 55 and up. Actually, I would appreciate it if they'd make it 50 and up. Because
that's a little ambitious. I mean, we'd like to think that they would make Medicare available to everyone. I think you should get Medicare once you're 1 hour old.
I think so,
but
too.
For the first hour of your life, Republicans can stand over your crib saying, don't be a socialist. I don't think that's going to happen. But the two things he could do are ban pre-existing conditions, and he could get Canadian drugs through. That's the capitalist option. Screw Big Pharma. He will lose so much in donations, but he will win the goodwill of America's seniors and everyone else touched by that.
Right. You know what? Obama needs to step up to the plate and say, I don't care if I'm a one-term president.
Exactly.
I'm going to do what's right for the American people. Now, I know it would be a 180 on his part, but that's what he needs to do right now. Now, he sort of made some noises when he went up against the banks, but let's see if he can take it all the way.
Well, Obama promised us a 180. At this point, I would settle for an 80. Maybe a 65 I would settle for. Now, a lot of that's going to be him getting rid of Rahm Emanuel, and it looks today like he's listening to Paul Volcker more and distancing himself from Geithner and Summers, which is the best news I've heard all year.
Well, he should fire Geithner and Summers and bring in, what's her name? The Harvard law professor who is overseeing the TARP.
Elliot Spitzer, as we should bring in.
Well, he should bring in Elliot Spitzer. And come on, people in the chat room. Elizabeth Warren. Thank you, Brian,
right.
In Miami. Elizabeth Warren and Paul Volcker. Bring them in. Let them run, you know, the Fed and get rid of Bernanke. And thank you, Bernie Sanders, for keeping the hold on her.
Exactly. And I got to say, compared to Geithner, I'd rather have Nicolas Cage in charge of the Treasury right now.
Yeah, anybody. Or bring back Robert Reich. I like that, too. There's a lot, but you know what? Let's get away from the Clintons. You know, as much as I like Robert Reich, let's move on. Let's move forward. You know, he's the one who said he didn't want to look back. He wanted to look forward. So let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to keep Summers, you may as well have Screech from Saved by the Bell managing our country's money.
John Fugelsang, see, you got me to laugh tonight, and I so appreciate it.
Well, listen, you make me smile all the time. I know that your show will continue to grow and evolve in newer and better mediums, and I can't wait to see where you're going to be next, Nicole, because I've been such a fan, and I love what you bring into the world, and I love the hope and inspiration that you bring to people with intelligence and decency out there.
Well, thank you so much. John Fugelsang, we will, hopefully you'll be back with me next week. I'm not sure what time, I don't know. I'm doing a poll. I'm asking people to email me, nicole@nicolesandler.com, and let me know what time you'd like to hear the show, because now I'm not married to the Air America schedule anymore. So, John, I know you got to get up early tomorrow. I thank you for staying up late with us tonight, and we'll talk again next week, I hope.
Fantastic. Have a great rest of the show.
Okay, thanks so much.
Peace.
You too. The wonderful John Fugelsang. And I've got a link to his Twitter feed up at Air America. Not at airamerica.com. See, at radioornot.com. That is my podcast page, my blog. And it's, that's my home base. So you can find all my contact information through there. Find my Facebook page and my Twitter feed and my email address and all that stuff. And in fact, even the phone number to call into the show. But don't call yet, because I still have the interview with Donna Edwards, Congresswoman from Maryland, and we will get to her. But I get to play another song first. This is an artist that you do not know. Maybe some of you, but some of my old music listeners from Los Angeles might know the name Kevin Gilbert. Kevin Gilbert was in a band called Toy Matinee. He was sort of a young, genius, a musical genius who, here, I'll tell you a little musical story, okay? Kevin Gilbert was, this amazing musician, and he was in this, he had a group of friends that would get together and jam every Tuesday night in Los Angeles. They called themselves the Tuesday Music Club. And it was him, and it was David Bayerwald, who's an amazing singer-songwriter, another guy named David Ricketts. You may remember they had they were known as David and David for a while. They had a hit called Welcome to the Boomtown. So David and David were in there, and a group of other people. And it was just a bunch of guys. Bill Bottrell, an amazing producer. They would all get together on Tuesdays and jam. And Kevin started bringing his girlfriend, who had been a backup singer for Michael Jackson. And she had a record deal with A&M. And she had recorded a record that A&M said, no, we're not releasing this. It's terrible. Go back to the drawing board. Try again. So Kevin said, well, why don't we bring Cheryl in and we'll, see what we can do with her. Cheryl Crow. Thus, the Tuesday Night Music Club record was recorded at these jam sessions. All right. So they recorded the record. If you look on the album, you'll see the writing credits are all these guys. But she and the players, but she doesn't, really credit who played on what and who wrote what. It's just sort of like a group effort. The record's released. It's a smash. It's a huge hit. And Cheryl gets up and wins all these Grammys and doesn't thank any of them. Then she goes on, I think it was Letterman, maybe,
And he starts asking her about the song Leaving Las Vegas. And she says something to the effect of, oh, it was autobiographical. Well, no. I mean, you know the book, Leaving Las Vegas. It was based on that, you know, book. It was a very sad, tragic story. She totally, you know, blew off these guys. So Kevin, you know, they wound up breaking up. Cheryl moved on and, you know, became a superstar. And she sort of left him in the lurch. Kevin went to a pretty dark place. He continued making music, but I think he was very bitter for a long time. In fact, boy, I can't think of his name now, but a writer for the San Francisco Chronicle did a great piece. If you Google Kevin Gilbert, Sheryl Crow, you'll see the full story. It is not a pretty story. Anyway, Kevin, again, musical genius, did some great music. He released this album, Thud, and I'm about to play a song for you. But a couple of years later, Kevin Gilbert was found dead. He died of autoerotic asphyxiation. It's a truly, truly sad story. And he was a musical genius, but a tormented soul who never got the recognition he deserved. Anyway, that's why I've known Sheryl Crow for years and years. I was the first person in Los Angeles to play anything from that Tuesday Night Music Club record on the radio. You know, there's tension there. I haven't seen her in a few years because of, you know, what happened with Kevin. Anyway, that said, you're getting some of my music stuff here. I'm going to take a break here and play you a song that just sort of sums up the day. This is Goodness Gracious by Kevin Gilbert on Radio or Not.
Goodness gracious, is there nothing left to say? Well, the ones that get to keep looking are the ones that look away. It's Babylon for the sleepers in the cult of brighter days. The cult of brighter days. Goodness gracious, at the mercy of the crooks. We're broken, stroking vegetables, and there's way too many cooks. In every pot a pink slip, in every mouth a hook. Goodness gracious, I'm not listening anymore. 'Cause the spooks are in the White House, and they've justified a war. So wake me when they notify, we're gonna fight some more. We're gonna fight some more. We'll be right back.
world's a scary place now. Things were different in her day. What horrors will be commonplace when my hair starts to gray?
That is Kevin Gilbert from the album Thud, Goodness Gracious. We're the cleanup crew for parties we were too young to attend. Goodness gracious me. I mean, that's a song for today. All right, we are back. I am Nicole Sandler on Radio or Not and RadioOrNot.com. We are streaming live on Ustream, and obviously you found me because that's the only way you're listening tonight. We all heard the news. It is very sad news that Air America has decided to call it quits today. This is a really sad day that we have lost a voice. Now, a lot of people say Air America wasn't what it was, in the beginning, and that's true. But the fact that we lost another liberal voice in this country should frighten everyone, because you cannot drive through a town in which you can't hear Rush Limbaugh, but you can drive through state after state after state listening to broadcast radio, terrestrial radio, and not be able to hear a progressive talk show. And that is a shame. It's a shame. So, the only good news that I can give you is that we are moving into an internet world. The new cars that are being made, that are being built, will have Wi-Fi capability in the dash. So just like a lot of people have Wi-Fi radios in their homes, you will be able to have that in your car. And it's coming soon. Unfortunately, it's not quite there yet. But the Ford Sync. But a lot of people are listening on their iPhones and on other smartphones. So we are getting there. We just have to get there more quickly. One of the things, I guess, that I'll look at over the coming weeks is that, find out what companies are offering these kind of devices for the cars, and maybe we can get some of them to advertise. I don't know. I got to figure out a way to, make this work. Because as of today, I'm not drawing a paycheck anymore. All right. So we'll get back to this, and I may even be able to grab a phone call or two before we call it quits. But I promised you my conversation with Congresswoman Donna Edwards. She is the first name. And I told you again, I recorded this conference call earlier today. As soon as the news broke about the Supreme Court ruling, there was a conference call put together by Public Citizen. That's the group that Ralph Nader founded all those years ago. And it was Robert Weissman, who's the president of Public Citizen, Scott Nelson, who is a litigator for Public Citizen, and he actually filed some of the briefs Citizens United case that the Supreme Court ruled on. Lisa Gilbert from the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, and John Bonifaz, who was our first guest tonight from Voter Action, all talking about how we move forward from here. And they launched this new website today. The website, again, is freespeechforpeople.org. And you know what? Before we get to Donna Edwards, who, by the way, is a congresswoman from Maryland, I see Jay Yoop in the Ustream chat room said he's not familiar with Donna. She is a wonderful, wonderful member of Congress from Maryland. I'm going to play you a little bit of the kickoff video audio from the freespeechforpeople.org website.
Do you think corporations are people?
No.
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 Absolutely not.
It's a different animal.
They're not people. They don't have the same rights as people.
I've worked in corporate America for years. I don't think, I think they're just inanimate objects. They don't have any living or breathing rights as I do.
They do everything people do except breathe, die, and go to jail for dumping 1.3 million pounds of PCBs into the Hudson River.
Most people understand that democracy is for citizens, for real-life human beings. Most people understand that corporations are not people. And yet, the United States Supreme Court in the Citizens United case has now just determined that private for-profit corporations are citizens armed with political rights.
For more than 100 years, laws have stood to limit corporate donations to political candidates and campaigns. For more than 100 years.
This is about the people they represent who live in a democracy and who deserve a political system where their views and their interests are not completely drowned out by corporate spending.
What is a corporation? Well, a corporation has always been defined as a matter of law as an artificial entity. Up until the Roberts Court, we have an unbroken line of precedent going back to the beginning saying that a corporation is something that's been created by the people, by the states, for the purposes of achieving our objectives as people. And now suddenly the Supreme Court has turned it into a Frankenstein monster and said that this creature of the people, this creature of the state, can intervene in our politics and spend its money as it pleases. That's an extraordinarily dangerous thing.
Good!
What's the matter? Quick, give him the...
In 2008, the Fortune 100 corporations had $600 billion in profits. Now imagine that those top 100 companies decided to spend a modest 1% of their profits to intervene in our politics and to get their way. Well, that would mean $6 billion, or double what the Obama campaign spent, the McCain campaign spent, and every candidate for House and Senate.
Corporations have free speech, but they can't speak like you and me. They don't have mouths or hands. Instead, they must speak with the only way they can, through billions.
This doesn't work at audio because it's a Colbert word.
I think if you were to imagine a world where corporations could spend a never-ending source of their corporate treasuries on campaigns, on elections, and on public policy, then the people would completely lose our voice, where we thought we actually had a voice here in this democracy. It would just be gone.
They're getting away with giving so much money now.
Yeah, I don't think you need corporations directly funding campaigns.
Corporations are only interested in making a profit for themselves.
They're not driven by the American people, for the American people. They're driven for profit.
That kind of squashes the little guy. And I don't think that's that was in our founding fathers' ideas when they wrote the Constitution.
No, I don't think so either. All right, that's a big piece of the kickoff video from freespeechforpeople.org. I've also got the video embedded on my blog at radioornot.com. So that's a little bit about this organization that they put together, knowing that the Supreme Court ruling would likely come down this way. And I love that this coalition was formed and they came together in anticipation of this ruling and they were ready to go when it happened. So again, after the show tonight, I will put a link to the press conference, the telephone press conference that they held today that explains so much. So if you want to listen to it, I've got it podcast. If you subscribe to the Radio or Not podcast, you can do that as well. And you'll get this, the audio from the interview, or you can just download it from the website. But again, it's all up there at radioornot.com. And though I don't like to do it, if you feel compelled to do so, there is a PayPal donation button. Again, I'm sort of on my own starting tonight. So, if you can help out, I certainly appreciate it. All right. So as promised earlier today, I got to speak with Congresswoman Donna Edwards.
Hi, it's Donna Edwards.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much for calling. It is a pleasure to meet you. We have some mutual friends. Howie Klein is a regular guest on my show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've been wanting to speak with you for a while, and I guess today is, a really good reason to talk.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court sold us out today
And I understand you are really working with the people who are pushing a group called freespeechforpeople.org, and you're spearheading the drive for a constitutional amendment.
I am. I'm very concerned about the Supreme Court's ruling. I thought that they would have some moderation, but they didn't. They've overturned a couple of decades of legal precedent. You know, when Justice Roberts was confirmed, he said that he would pay attention to precedent. Here he did and just threw it out the window.
It is unbelievable. So what happens now? What do we do?
Well, I think the court has really left us only one choice, and that is to do a constitutional amendment that says that political speech by corporations is not protected by the First Amendment in the same way that speech is protected for individuals, for ordinary citizens, and would allow then states and the Congress to regulate corporate spending on political speech.
Okay, so a lot of people, I think, finally this will get them involved when they realize that corporations will be allowed to have total influence over every election from this day forward because of the amount of money they have access to and can spend and can threaten to spend, and that may be all it takes. So what does it take to get a constitutional amendment passed?
Well, it's not easy, and so I'm introducing a constitutional amendment. It's going to have to be approved by two-thirds of our Congress and three-quarters of the states across the country, and so it's not an easy process, but nor should it be when it's to change our Constitution. But the reality here is that unless we do something, then corporations with their unlimited treasuries are going to be able to spend whatever they want, however they want, to affect our elections and our public policy. And the danger here is that, you know, take the healthcare debate. Imagine the healthcare debate on steroids, where the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies would have the ability to reach into their corporate treasuries and then spend money for the election or defeat of any one candidate who didn't happen to agree that they should be allowed to continue offering health care to people that they can't afford.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, already they have had undue influence. And now, as you said, it's going to be just on steroids. So, Congresswoman Donna Edwards, have you heard from any of your colleagues in the House? Anybody else already step up and say they would work with you on this?
Well, I have. There are a number of of members who are really concerned about this. And obviously, the Supreme Court decision happened just today. And so we are grouping, and I think that you will see, you know, certainly by early next week, that a constitutional amendment will be introduced, that we will begin to move forward with the respective committees so that we can try to move this forward. And it'll take, you know, it's not going to just be members of Congress. It really is going to take grassroots organizing across this country to say our politics, our elections, our campaigns are about people and they're not about corporations. And I think that kind of movement combined with what we're able to do here in the United States Congress will mean that we'll have some success.
Well, I certainly hope so. And a group already has launched and hit the ground running today, immediately after the announcement was made. FreeSpeechForPeople.org. John Bonifaz, who is the legal director of VoterAction.org, is sort of the director of this campaign, and he's going to be joining me on the show tonight as well. So, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us. But this is something that people, and I don't think it's going to be a Democrat-Republican divide on this. I think people who are concerned about, you know, First Amendment rights and the difference between people and corporations hopefully will come together on this.
Well, I think that this, you know, this isn't about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's not about independents. It's about the American people. It's about our values in the Constitution, where we value free speech, but we just don't think that corporations should be treated in the same way as individuals, and that we should have the ability to construct, you know, laws and regulations that govern what they can do to affect our elections. And I think that this is incredibly important. And, you know, we've had a situation where the banks and the credit card companies and the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies and you name the industry has had such unbelievable influence and impact on our policies and elections, and that the Roberts Court has actually opened up the barnyard gates so that we can't just look at what they're doing anymore, and we can't just construct a set of rules for them. They will be able to do whatever they want to influence our elections and our public policy.
And we can't let that happen.
Right. This is going to be a grassroots movement for change to say, we own our elections, we own our politics, not the corporations.
You got that right. Congresswoman Donna Edwards, thank you so much for calling. I know you were headed out to something, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us tonight. I just got some really bad news. As if today wasn't bad enough already, we found out within the last half hour that Air America Radio has ceased operations today.
I hope some people across the country, good people across the country, are going to step up to make sure that we can regain an independent voice in a media that's controlled by corporate influence.
Well, I hope so, because what we're being force-fed now is Rush Limbaugh in every small town across America, and liberal voices are being silenced. And that's not what this country is supposed to be about, and that's not what the First Amendment is supposed to be about.
Well, in the meantime, we're going to catch you on the internet, and then we're going to, I'm urging everybody out there to do some organizing on our own so that we can maintain our independent voice in the media.
Thank you so much. I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. And there is Donna Edwards. She's one of the good ones. She was I have Howie Klein on the show a lot of Down with Tyranny, and he's got the Blue America Pack along with John Amato from Crooks and Liars and Digby's Hullabaloo. And Donna Edwards is somebody they found. They found her and, worked with her and helped her. She ran and, they supported her all the way, and they still do. I've got links to Donna Edwards' campaign site because, every member of the House of Representatives has to run for reelection every 2 years. So they're all up again in November. And especially with the Supreme Court ruling, these candidates are going to need our help. That's another thing that sucks. We need public financing of campaigns. We need complete campaign finance reform because it's ridiculous. And at a time when so many people are out of work, that candidates, that people running for office are asking us to contribute money so they can buy airtime from the media. That's why they need so much money. To pay for the commercial time on television. That's what costs so much money. All qualified candidates should be given so much airtime. That's a topic for another show, and we will get there. I got to thank you. I'm looking at the numbers of people who tuned in tonight, and my heart is just warmed. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming by here tonight and checking out the show. And here I'm getting all teary again. You know what? I've been in radio for, I hate to admit it, but over 30 years. I've been through this too many times. More times than I like to admit. If you look around, I'll see if I can pick this up without pulling out the audio cords. I've got on the microphone now, I have a mic flag from Channel 103.1. And up here, I've got a big framed poster from FM 101.9, a couple of stations in Los Angeles that I dearly loved. I poured my heart and soul into them, especially that one. And those stations were both sold and the formats were changed. And yes, I do have a Kleenex this time. I've been through this before. I lost my job in Miami a year and a half ago, and almost to the day. In fact, they pulled the plug on my show the Friday before the Democratic convention. That's the way they do it, with no advance warning. And somehow, I always land on my feet. And I have to think things will get better. You guys being with me here tonight has really, really helped. Yes, and they did replace me with Imus in Miami. And then the station flipped to an all sports format. And here we are in South Florida with no progressive talk station. Go figure. It's because the right wing, owns the media.
And, you know, we got to work on that too. We've got a lot to work on. The silver lining could be that, again, the internet is going to be in cars pretty soon. And all those big sticks, as we call them in the business, the radio antennas, the transmitters, are going to be obsolete. We just have to make it happen sooner rather than later. All right. I am going to take tomorrow night off. I'm going to have a long weekend. I'm going to cry. I'll mourn a little bit. And I'll be back next week. And please watch RadioOrNot.com. If you go to the Ustream page, I will post what time I will be on Monday. I'm not sure yet what time I'll do it. But if you have, you know, a thought, email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. Go to RadioOrNot.com. All my information is there. You can email me through there. You can get on my Facebook page. If you put in a friend request, I'll do that. If you, follow me on Twitter, but email me somehow and tell me when you would like to hear the show. And we'll figure it out. And I'll be back on Monday, okay? And we will do this every day. And hopefully, you know, we'll get back on a terrestrial radio station until we don't need them anymore. All right? I'm going to leave you with one of my all-time favorite songs. And it's a good one to think about today. It is Elvis Costello, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. I'm Nicole Sandler, Radio or Not.
As I walk through this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, is all hope lost? Is the only pain hatred and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know: what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and I'm
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening, radio or not. Bye.